Amen. Go ahead and grab your Bibles this morning. John chapter 14, verse 30. Hallelujah. How many of you know the enemy's been defeated? Because the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Because the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. Now, if you found that scripture, go ahead and stand to your feet. You can keep singing. Death couldn't hold you down. Multitask. Find your scripture and sing. We're gonna make your praises loud because the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. John 14, 30. Our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises. And if you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it. Just stand to your feet. The words will appear on your screen. We stand out of reverence for the Word of God. This morning, as we get ready to talk to you, before we get to the message, you need to know that the enemy's been defeated. He has been defeated is past tense. That means it's settled. His defeat is already done. And I know you might be struggling with different things this morning. I'm going to talk to you about that struggle this morning, but you need to know that the enemy has been defeated. Come on, let's just sing that. Let's sing the enemy has been defeated. Because the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praise. One more time, because the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. All right, y'all ready with your Bible affirmation? You found the scripture? All right, if you have your Bible or your electronic device, do me a favor, hold them high in the air. We're going to say this affirmation together. The words are on your screen if you don't know it. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. John 14, 30. We're just going to read that one verse together. Y'all ready? We're going to be reading out of the New King James Version. If you don't have that version, don't worry about it. The words will appear on your screen. For the sake of us reading together, let us all read John 14, 30. You ready? I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing on me. Somebody say that again. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Father, thank you for your word this morning, and we declare this morning that the enemy has been defeated. Oh, Lord. As we talk about who's the real ruler of the earth, we declare that the enemy has been defeated. We lift our voice in victory and shout, hallelujah, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, who's the real ruler of the earth? Oh, somebody say, will the real ruler of the earth stand up? Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Who is the real ruler? My subtitle is, will the real ruler of the earth stand up? We've been talking in this series called Made to Reign about dominion. And we started the week off, we started the series off rather, discussing with you about how God started the earth. And he said, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. And we talked about how God, in his image, he's a king. And he sent us to colonize the earth. Colonization truly simply means that we are trying to make the earth look just like heaven. We are trying to expand heaven's reach into the earth. And when God created the earth, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And then he tells them to go and to have dominion. And a couple weeks ago, we talked to you about what it means to have dominion. We talked about that God gave us dominion over the earth and over the trees and over the fields of the earth and over all the earth. And last week, we asked this question. If God gave us dominion and we were made to reign, did we lose it when Adam and Eve messed up in the garden? And we discovered last week that we did not lose dominion. We discovered that, in fact, when God pronounced the punishment, he never punished or he never cursed the people. He cursed the ground to make the work harder for them. And he cursed and he said to the woman, with labor and toil, you're going to have to bear children. Good God. We've discovered in that series, as we looked at the scripture, that God's original intent for mankind never changed. Even though man messed up, the intention of man never changed. And that intention was for us to have dominion, to have rulership, to be fruitful and multiply. That has not changed. We discovered that even though they messed up, God's original vision didn't go away, but simply meant that his vision for our life was going to be harder to achieve because of sin. That is why many of you still feel these passions and desires in your heart for great things, but you're struggling with how do I make it happen? And when you feel that struggle, sometimes it makes you want to give up. But we talked last week that you have not lost dominion. You haven't walked away from, just because you've messed up, no matter what your sin is, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad life has been, God still has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for your life. His vision for you to be fruitful, to multiply and increase has not changed, no matter what sin you've committed. I praise the Lord for grace. So we talked about those over the last few weeks, but I have a question. As those of you who've been around me long enough to know, I ask a lot of questions. The question I have is, if we have not lost dominion, then what in the world is wrong with the earth today? If we have not lost dominion, why is the earth plagued with disease? Why is cancer running rampant and Ebola outbreaks? And why are we having divorces like never before? Why are there wars every which way we turn? Why is murder so rampant? Why is there bullying in school? Why is there so much hatred? If we have not lost dominion, why is the earth not looking like heaven? Why does it look like Satan's kingdom? Why does it look like darkness? Why does it look like there's no hope? And those of you who've lived any amount of time will begin to feel that the world is looking worse off now than it did when you were younger. You're starting to get older and you're starting to say, my gosh, Jesus must be coming soon because this is getting crazy. I want to give you a bit of encouragement. That generation upon generation upon generation upon generation has felt that same way. The earth is continuing to experience this decline where the earth is not looking like heaven as God originally intended. Why does it seem like things are getting worse and not better? Why are we dealing with terrorist attack and situations with ISIS and the Michael Brown incident in Ferguson and violence in Hong Kong over protests? Why are these things still prevalent today? Why are innocent children dying of cancer and disease and dying at the hand of mean people? What in the world is happening in our society? Is God really real? I mean, if God is real, wouldn't it seem like he would just step into the middle of this situation? Who is the real ruler of the earth? Because God, if you're the real ruler, surely you would step in and fix all this stuff. But today I want to answer that question. Because understanding who the real ruler of the earth is will help us to understand what is truly happening in our society today. John 14:30, Jesus is speaking, and in the middle of his passage, he's telling him, look, hey guys, I'm going to leave you some peace. I'm getting ready to leave and go back to my Father. I'm going to leave you with peace. Don't get disheartened. I will come back for you. He's telling them this, and then he gets down to verse 30, and he says, look, I'll no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. I start saying, wait a minute, Jesus, who's the ruler of the world? If it were you, you wouldn't say the ruler of the world is coming. You would say the ruler of the world is here. So the ruler of the world can't be Jesus. If the ruler of the world were man, you wouldn't say he is coming because man's already here. I thought, well, you can't be talking about Satan because Satan's been around since the beginning of time. But the Lord said very clearly, the ruler of the world is coming. He was talking about coming for him. He was coming after him. So I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. Who has real dominion in the earth? Last week, I told you that we haven't lost it. But this week, Jesus is saying there's a ruler of the earth, and we're going to early define as Satan. I will proof text it in a minute. But who really is the ruler of the earth? If you jump back to Genesis 1:26, you don't have to turn there. But in Genesis 1:26, the passages we've been talking about, God said, let us make man in our own image according to his likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle. And he slips in this phrase, over all the earth. Which means that mankind is supposed to have rulership and dominion over all the earth. But Jesus says the ruler of the world is coming. I'm so confused, Jesus. I don't get what you're saying. What does the world, what does the Bible mean? Is this terminology somewhere else in Scripture so that we can understand it? Well, in fact, it is. John chapter 5, verse 19 says this, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies, listen to this, under the sway of the wicked one. In John 5, 19, the Bible says, the whole world is under the sway. 1 John 5:19. The whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Well, the wicked one, who is that? That's got to be Satan. Well, that might possibly prove it. Let's see if it's somewhere else. John 16:11. John 16:11 says this, because the ruler of this world is judged. So whoever the ruler of this world is, he's going to be judged. We know he's the wicked one. That ought to give you a clue right there. That's Satan. But he's judged, the ruler of this world. John 12:31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Wait a minute. Man's not going to get cast out. Who's going to get cast out? Satan. So I'm confused, God. We got dominion, but Lord, your word says that Satan, basically, and you know, as we looked at the scripture, Satan is the ruler of this world. So I'm confused. Who's the real ruler? Did God anywhere in scripture say, okay, Satan, I'm going to give you the world? We never see it anywhere in scripture. So if God's not a man, he don't change his mind. If he gave dominion to man, and yet somewhere between dominion given to us, Satan has crept in, and somehow or another, he's become ruler of the world. How in the world does this happen? What is going on? I don't get it. Genesis 3:22 gives us a clue. Right after the fall, God begins to speak to man, and he says, look, behold, the man has become like one of us. And he says the way he's become like one of us is different this time. This is after Adam and Eve have sinned. He said they know good and evil. See, before the fall, man only knew good. It wasn't no bullying, wasn't no beating people up. I wonder if they would have had kids if they actually had homework before the fall. Kids, what do you think? You think they would have had homework before the fall? Before Adam and Eve sinned, you think they would have had homework? I'd probably say no. You ought to get mad when you do your homework at Eve and Adam. It's your fault I got to do homework. Because I think we would have just known 2 + 2 = 4. We wouldn't have to be taught it. We just know it. Come on, right? So it's Adam and Eve's fault. Now we know good and evil. Now we have an understanding of what is good, and we have opened the door for evil to now come to us. Now, watch this. Eve did not know what evil was until after the fall. Evil is pain. She didn't know what it was going to be like to bear a child until after the fall. Adam did not know how hard it was going to be the garden until after evil entered in. So all of a sudden, where what was supposed to be us just knowing what is good, knowing what's right, knowing what's holy, knowing what's perfect, now we know what it is to be mean and nasty. And we know what it is to be unforgiving. And we know what it is to be bitter. And we know what it is to be self-seeking. Now we know something different. So now you have man who has dominion on the earth. Now, instead of the man who only has dominion, only knowing good, now he knows both good and evil. Oh, this is a dangerous thing. Why was God so tripped out over this? Why was God so mad that they know good and evil? Because God never wanted them to know bad. Let me ask you a question. Parents, do you want your kids to know what drug addiction looks like? Do you want your kids to know what it's like to have to, labor because they don't have an education? Come on, somebody. You don't want them to know the evil. You want them to just know the good. But your children will make choices. Come on, somebody. That will then open up evil to them. Where you said, come on. The reason why we tell you don't do this is because we don't want to see you go through that. And that's why God said, don't eat from this tree, because I don't want to see you do that. But real love doesn't control you to do what you want, what they want you to do. Real love gives you a choice to obey. Now, they get choices based upon their age. Let me just get that straight. And their ability and their capacity. I don't say, here's the keys at 10. Choose to drive the car or not. I say, you ain't gonna touch my car. Come on, until you get a license and a proven driving record, not just a license. Anyway, that's another story. Right? So you guys got it. Now they know good and evil. We can see this and how it works in our lives by looking at Jesus and his temptation. Because Jesus was faced, he was fully human, just like you and I. And when he came to this earth, right after he got baptized, the Bible says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. What is interesting is this is where we see exactly what happens to mankind when the enemy comes with evil. How evil comes, because it's not like you just sit there and you don't know. Y'all ever notice that you could be having good thoughts and something bad just pop in your mind? You ever wonder why? I mean, you ever just be sitting there talking about, you know, I'm trying to be real nice to this person, but I sure do want to choke them right now. You ever just had those thoughts like, man, I wish I could get a new sister or a new brother because they're getting on my last nerves. Nobody ever had to stop playing. You ever had those thoughts of your boss? You just want to, you want to say, take this job and shove it. Kids, you ever looked at your teachers and you just wanted to go, ooh, if I had a Nerf gun right now. Where do these things come from? God only wants us to know good, but something happens. And I'm going to show you that Jesus Christ ends up having to face the exact same thing. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 is where the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. And as he's out there being tempted, what's interesting is that most people don't understand that this temptation that Jesus had is in the mind. It wasn't a temptation that happens like Satan himself physically appeared on the earth. Let me help you with something. Satan is a spirit. He has to use people to be visible on the earth. He didn't show up, come on, somebody, with a pitchfork, horns, and a red cape. That's not the way he looks, no. He said, I knew it. I knew he didn't look like that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he was one of the angels. So we would imagine the Bible talks about him being beautiful and gorgeous and arrayed so beautifully. So Satan don't show up looking all evil and distorted. Satan as an angel is a beautiful image because God created him. Now, maybe his face got sour along the way. But the reality of it is that Satan did not show up to Jesus looking like the pictures the world gives you. He actually showed up in a conversation in his mind. You ever had conversations in your mind? You know what I'm talking about, those conversations. Sometimes you speak them out of your mouth and people are like, who are you talking to? Oh, my bad. I was just talking to myself. Right? That is a conversation. So what is happening is there's a conversation going on in Jesus' mind, and the devil is trying to tempt Jesus, just like he tries to tempt us. And so the devil turns on him. He knows Jesus hasn't been eaten for 40 days. Man, I fasted, but I ain't never fasted without eating nothing for 40 days. I mean, if I go a day without eating nothing, hunger kicks in. I'd be like, oh, y'all making me mad. Don't act like I'm the only one. Come on, somebody. I got an attitude. I'm nasty. I'm mean because I'm hungry. Y'all don't all have hunger issues, but those of us with hunger issues, can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Hunger, for those of y'all, let's see, what the heck is hunger? Hungry anger. Hunger. Give the Urban Dictionary definition of hunger. All right. So Satan shows up in his mind, and he's like, look, you know what? You're the Son of God. You hungry? Take those stones and turn them to bread. That's a temptation. If you ain't ate in 40 days. You know, basically what Satan is saying is, I know you got the power to do it. I know who you are. Come on. Do it. Y'all ever had Satan say, I know you got the power to cuss somebody out. Do it. I know you got the power to beat them up. Do it. I know you got the power to give them the right finger when they cut in front of you. Do it. I know you got the power to yell and fight and cut. I know you got, do it. And Jesus stops and he says, nope, it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Whew. Got rid of that first temptation. Good and evil. Evil would have been to turn the stones to bread. Well, wait a minute. Satan comes again in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, and says this. Then the devil, watch this. All of a sudden, Jesus is now high up on a mountain. And he sees, check this out, all the kingdoms, somebody say kingdoms. All the kingdoms of the world. Remember I told you last week that Satan was also trying to colonize the earth. Just like God was trying to colonize the earth. So Satan is trying to get the earth to look like his kingdom. So here he is showing Jesus all the kingdoms. Check this out. Pay attention to the word of the world. In a flash, in a moment of time. And the devil says to them, he says, look, all this authority I'm going to give to you. And all this glory I'll give to you. For this has been, check out the terminology, delivered to me. How did we move from man having dominion to Satan saying, all these kingdoms of the world and all the authority, that means dominion and power, have been given, delivered to me. Now check this out. If you see it in the New American Standard Bible, that translation goes like this. Verse 6 says, and the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me. The Satan is saying, look, Jesus, all this authority on the earth, I'll give you. I'll give it to you if you'll just worship. If you worship me, I'm going to give you everything. Satan comes to us much like that same way. If you just follow what you want to do, forget the world, forget church, forget God, forget the Bible, forget those things, I'll give you everything. I'll give you what you want. Watch this. He says, because all the authority's been handed over to me. It's been delivered to me. I started asking the question, what does that mean? It's sort of like leasing a car. You know, when you lease a car, you don't completely own the car, do you? You're just using the car for a period of time. You have, the owner has given you permission and authority to drive the car and use it whenever you want to, however you want to, until the lease period ends. Watch this. Satan is saying, authority has been handed over to me, much like the lease of a car. it's been leased out to me. Who gave him this authority? Who leased out the authority to Satan? Did God lease out authority to Satan? The only person, the only people who have a right to lease out the rulership, the dominion of the earth, are human beings. You ever wonder why Jesus had to come and be human? It is because in order for anything to happen on the earth, he had to come as a full human being to be able to have the authority that human beings have on the earth. God, because he gave us dominion, will not intercede and interject unless you invite him in to intercede and interject. Because when I have given you authority, I can't take it back when I want to. So Jesus had to be fully human when he came down into the world. Why? Because as a fully human man, now he had real authority on the earth. So check this out. Satan said, it's been handed to me. The only way you can hand Satan authority is if you humans give it to him. Well, how did we do that? How do we do that? Let me ask you a question. When God created the earth, what did he do? The Bible says, and God said. At that moment, God was the only one who had authority on the earth. So when God said something, it happened. Okay. When he gave man authority, how do they have authority? When you say something, stuff's supposed to happen. Let me explain. In my house, I'm the mama. I'm the queen. I told y'all that a few weeks ago. When I say do something, what's supposed to happen? It gets done. Children, if you want to have this kind of authority when you become parents, you have to obey now. Because you're going to breed the same kind of children you are. They're going to act just like you did. So if you don't want to be stressed out with your children, you ought to act real nice and not give your parents no stress. Come on. All the kids are like, I don't even care. I don't even want no kids. Say it now, but one day they come back and they act just like you did. I'm just saying. Watch this. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life. What lies in the power of your tongue? And life. Remember, now you know good and evil. So what you say opens the door for either death. What did Satan come to do? Satan, the Bible says in John 10:10, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Where do you think death coming out of your mouth is designed to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life. Where's death and life? In the power of the tongue. And life more abundantly. You got to check this out. What you say will either produce death or life. There is no in between. Check this out. Some of y'all be like, I'm just playing. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that our man's tongue is like a fire. And it talks about, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, the Bible says. But watch this. There's another scripture in Proverbs, and it'll tell you this. I don't have it with me, but Proverbs, it tells you this. The tongue is so much like a fire that people will be saying stuff. It'll burn people up, and they'll say, I was just playing. I was just joking. See, you have to be very careful. There it is, Proverbs 26:19. Is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You ever had somebody hurt you with their words and they say, I was just playing? It don't take back what they said, does it? And see, here's what happens. A lot of us, we go through stuff, we start feeling bad, and we start talking. But we ain't talking life. We talking death. I hate those people. I can't stand them. I wish they'd just get out of my life. I wish they'd die. You're pronouncing death. Some words we don't like our kids to use, like don't say I hate them. Don't say I wish people. We use die so easily in our culture. Man, you're killing me to death. And we're wondering, you know what you're doing? When you do that, you know, good and evil, your words are opening the door for Satan to come in. That was the authority I needed to do what I want to do. When you get a doctor's report, you've got cancer. What comes out of your mouth? I'm about to die. Wait a minute. What'd you just speak over your life? Death. And you're like, but that's how I feel. Pastor, it's how I feel. I don't be able to say exactly what I feel. I don't care. I mean, are we supposed to keep it real? I can't lie about it. I am going to die. Everybody going to die one day, but stop saying it. You're just inviting Satan to do it quicker. You ought to say John 3:2, which says that, you know, beloved above all else, I wish that you would prosper in your soul and be in good health. Look, I hope to, you know, Psalms 91 says with long life, he'll satisfy me. I'm just saying. What are you speaking out of your mouth? See, we hand over authority in the earth. We hand over authority in our lives when we open our mouths to say negative things. Spouses, when you talk about your spouse, you are opening the door for the enemy to come in and create more division. You ever wonder why when you go talk to your girlfriend or your male friend about your spouse and you tell them all the down and dirty lowdown, you feel a little bit better, but you go home, ain't nothing changed? Because, see, you got your feelings off your chest. But while you got your feelings off your chest, the enemy was taking every word and saying, that's the authority I need to move in this earth. Because when God spoke, things happened. You are also a king and a queen. So when you speak, things are supposed to come. I'm preaching this real good. So let me tell you how Satan gets you. Satan tries to make you feel bad. And he tries to make you feel bitter and feel envious so that your mouth will follow your feelings. Instead of, come on somebody, making your mouth speak and tell your body to follow. So we are cursing things that God never declared to be cursed. And then we go in our prayer closet and try to pray prayers of life for 2 minutes. And then come out after having speaking prayers, and watch, you don't even know this, words of death all day long, and you're wondering why ain't nothing changing. And you're saying, God, where are you? God says, look, I'm trying to come in, but you got a conflicting word coming out your mouth. I can't move. I want to come in and work in your marriage, but your mouth is out there talking about your husband or your wife like they ain't no good. And then you want to come to me talking about God changed them. How about you correct your speech first? Because when you as man speak and invite me in, I can invade the earth. But when you don't speak, I can't invade the earth. See, Jesus was the exact representation of what man was supposed to be like. When Jesus came in, Jesus even said, I don't speak anything else. I only speak what I hear my Father saying. He even says in some scriptures, there's some other stuff I could say. But I can't say anything except for what the Father says. Some of you think you have a license because you think it to say it. And all you're doing is letting Satan come in and have his way. Oh, I can't stand them. You talk about how much you hate your spouse, how much you don't like them, how much you don't want to be with them no more. I want a divorce. And you wonder why it's so hard to keep your marriage together. I could just leave him right now. I'm just saying. When we do that, Jesus showed us how to do this. You ever wonder why when Jesus showed up and somebody was sick, he could speak a word and they'd get healed? You ever notice that many times Jesus didn't even have to touch people? He just said, be healed. Bam. He didn't even pray long, drawn-out prayers. He just said, be healed. Bam, they healed. You know why? Because he understood his authority, his dominion. He understood that when he came as a human, he was a ruler on the earth. And look, rulers know when I speak by faith, they have confidence that when I speak, you do what I say. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. And if you don't do what I say the first time, parents, how many times you do it? You say it again. And you say it again. The reason why we're struggling with sickness and disease in the earth, remember, God wants earth to look like heaven. Satan wants earth to look like his kingdom. So all the sickness and disease that's running rampant, who do you think that comes from? Why? It doesn't come because Satan is so big and bad and he's got power. It comes because people keep talking about, ooh, I hope Ebola don't come into the United States. Bam. An outbreak. Somebody gets it in Dallas. See, I told you. This is what people say. I told you it was going to happen. Yeah, you did. You spoke that one right on up. Instead of some believers who have authority saying, in the name of Jesus, I declare that this Ebola outbreak will not touch the United States. I declare that not only will it be contained, come on somebody, but I cast it out in the name of Jesus. See, we don't speak like that. We keep telling, when you watch the news, instead of praying and declaring what God is going to do, you just go and talk about how bad the world is getting. But you are a king. You are a queen. And what you say goes. So rise up and begin to speak life instead of death over these situations. Not just in your home, but in our community, in our United States, and all over the world. Stop acting like you don't have no power in what you say. And just, well, some of us walk around like Eeyore. Oh, woe is me. Things will never get any better. I saw an episode where Tigger pounced on Eeyore. He said, I probably deserved it. Come on, we just walk around in life like it's gonna, some of us wake up like, you know, things are going too good. Something bad is bound to happen. And then you say it happened. See, I told you it was gonna happen. You spoke it. I want you to take captive every thought, because I'm not saying you won't think, because now you know good and evil. Remember, I told you that. And Satan is coming, because if I can get you to think it, I can get you to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Don't speak it out your mouth. Check this out. James chapter 3, verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles. Your tongue messes up your whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire, check this out, by hell. Your tongue is a fire set on fire by hell. Now, you need to know that he's talking, James is writing to Christians. Oh, snap. It's bad enough that Satan has unbelievers' tongues so hijacked that they keep talking negativity, but he also got believers' tongues. James is writing the book to folks who are saved. Oh, I'm preaching this. Church folks got some of the nastiest, filthiest, meanest, vilest tongues ever. That's why he said, I don't understand, with the same mouth you praise God, and out of the same mouth come bitterness. That's why people don't want to come to the church. It's a bunch of hypocrites. Those of you who don't want to come to church because it's a bunch of hypocrites, applaud you. You're absolutely correct. But just know this. The minute you show up in church, a hypocrite just walked in. So don't be blaming other folks. We all working this thing out together. It ain't just you. We all working it out. Pastor included. I'm going to tell you something. I got a sharp tongue. I know I do. I got the kind of tongue that can look at you, cut you up one side and down the other, and then smile and walk away after I've done it, like, and. And you will sit there and feel so destroyed. Come on, somebody. But I have determined that God doesn't want me to use my tongue to be set on fire by hell, but he wants to use my tongue to bring life. So I have learned, come on somebody, to tell myself, just because you think it and feel it don't mean you got a right to say it. So control that bad boy, girl. James is like, it's like a bridle on a horse. Horses are controlled by little bitty bits. Thousands of pound horses are controlled by a bit this big that they stick in their mouth. And Jesus is like, why? Because the tongue controls everything. You're handing Satan authority in the earth. You're handing it authority. You ever wonder why in Ephesians it talks about how Satan throws fiery darts at us? And everybody's like, I got to put my shield of faith up. You're just saying stuff in the spirit, don't even know what that means. You're like little kids with little shields. You ever seen kids trying to block and hide behind something about this big? You don't understand what you're saying. You don't understand what's going on. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Those fiery darts are not some special attack that Satan just all of a sudden comes up with and throws at you. Those fiery darts are tongues of fire that have been set ablaze by hell that other people are speaking and that you're speaking. You ever wonder that some of the biggest battles are some of the tapes you have to play from what your parents said to you? When they said, you ain't no good. Watch this. You ain't never going to be nothing. You just like your no good daddy. You know what they're speaking? Fiery darts. And you know what you go home thinking about? Ain't no good. I'm never going to be nothing. I'm just like my no good dad. I don't even know who he is, but I'm just like him, I'm sure. And your mind is battling these darts that have been aimed at you. And you don't know how to overcome them. They're so strong that they have caused you to change the very course and destiny of your life. Because you don't feel like you can do anything right. You don't feel like, you ever been around critical people so long that it makes you feel like you're nothing? No matter how much confidence you had when you got, that's why some of y'all can't stand your bosses, because your bosses are so critical and everything you do, they're criticizing and you're just sitting there feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm just being hit and hit. Those are fiery darts that are coming at you. Those are the tools of the enemy that are coming at you. And God says you ought to hold up the shield of faith. What does that mean? That, watch this, watch this. That don't mean I stand there like this when they speak to me. That means I, in my mind, start to speak the word of truth. I start to speak faith. I start to say, okay, you say I'm never going to be anything, but God says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God says that he has a plan and a purpose for my life. Okay, I hear what you're trying to say. Come on, somebody. But I am going to not only hear it, watch this. How do I defeat it? I defeat it with my mouth. I begin to speak out of my mouth. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith will come by hearing. Faith will come by hearing. Faith in the wrong stuff, faith in negativity, faith in the fact that you are not available or not able to do anything comes from hearing it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And God is trying to say to you, stop playing those tapes and hearing them over and over again. The only way to defeat them is to rise up and speak with your tongue, for death and life are in the power of the tongue. It is time for the ruler of the earth to begin to open their mouth to fight back what the enemy is trying to do. Let me tell you something. When Jesus was tempted, it went a little something like this. It went, Satan said, then Jesus said. Satan said, then Jesus said. Satan said, then Jesus said, and that was it. Every time Satan tried to speak those fiery darts, Jesus said. Satan only has dominion when we yield it to him. And when you sense Satan trying to come up, open your mouth. That's why praise and worship is so important. You might say, why do they have us singing all them songs? I mean, for 30 to 40 minutes in this church, these people sang. What is wrong with you people? I would like to sit down during worship. My 1 hour shoes are reaching their maximum capacity. It's okay if you sit during worship, but don't stop singing. Let me tell you why. Why do we want you to open your mouth and sing? Because you are speaking life. We sang this morning, the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. I'm going to lift my voice in victory. I'm going to make your praise loud. Why do I say that? Why? You got to understand, a lot of these songs, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Why are we having y'all sing these songs? Because when you open your mouth and sing, hallelujah, you are speaking stuff in the atmosphere. That's why when you leave, you're like, wow, I feel great. Then you go get in your car and you turn on 106.1. Or let me give you the benefit of the doubt. Because they play gospel music in the morning, it was just left there. Right? But then you happen to catch a phrase. Bam, bam. And you don't realize, watch this. Why is so much happening in our earth? Think about all the words we're putting out there. Think about the words in the songs. Oh, come on, somebody. We have kids listening to songs talking about kill, 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 kill. We have kids listening to songs talking about being with this person and that person, and I kissed a girl. Not wondering why these things are all of a sudden becoming more visible and rampant. I don't know what's happening, because we're speaking it, we're speaking it, we're speaking it. Then if we ain't speaking it there, we're watching it on TV where it's coming into our hearts and our minds. So I could not be speaking it, but watch, 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 watch. I got to battle more because now I'm seeing evil more. Oh, if it ain't there, it's on the internet. Just go to your Facebook page. The stuff that other people post. Come on, somebody. Instagram, the pictures. You know what pictures are designed to do? Burn an image in your mind so that you have to wrestle with them from that point forward. You can't ever forget pictures. After time, after you've grown, after you've maybe replaced the thoughts. But for a while, those sear your mind. This is why we love OSL in this church, Operation Solid Lives. Because in Operation Solid Lives, what we ask people to do just for a four-week period, just to test it out, is to cut out worldly music, cut out the internet, cut out Facebook, Instagram, video games. You seen some of these games they playing? You know, some violent stuff out there. Cut it out for 4 weeks and just try to hear from God. You will begin to discover that it's not hard to stop fighting good and evil when you cut that stuff out. You know the reason why you want to get in debt is because you see so much Real Housewives? Because they be wearing some cute stuff. And you're like, oh my gosh, I got to go find some. I'm sure somebody got that in my price range. You ever flip through magazines for fashion and then all of a sudden you want to go get the stuff you see? Home improvement, come on somebody. You ain't got no money. I'm just window shopping. But in your mind will start trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to get what I see? Your eyes are the windows to your soul. Watch that stuff. Because all of that is warring on you and causing you to yield dominion to Satan. So it is not that God doesn't want to intervene in the earth and God doesn't want to stop sicknesses and disease. It's that God is waiting for a people who will realize that the real ruler of the earth is us. And when we speak, watch this, not just anything, but God's word. See, when you speak God's word, see, what really had power when God said was his word. Because he said it. The Bible says when God speaks a word, it shall not come back to him void. It shall always accomplish what it says. So if you don't know what to say, the reason why sometimes ain't nothing happening is because you saying your words and your words don't have, you ain't got no power. They need God. Watch this. Jesus said, I only speak what? What my Father says. Why? Because he's trying to bring God's word, God's power. We're supposed to look like God's kingdom into the earth. So you have to speak God's word over the earth. You have to pray. You have a loved one who's sick, pray. Don't just give up. Don't just walk away from it. Because maybe, just maybe, God puts you right there in that situation to speak his word, to declare that by his stripes they are healed. God sent his word and he healed their disease. God will raise you from your bed of affliction. God wants that kind of word loosed in the earth. What you need to know about Jesus saying he's the ruler of this world, why Jesus kept saying it over and over again, Jesus also said, we are not of this world. The world he's talking about is unbelievers. Satan is the ruler of unbelievers. But the minute you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're no longer of this world. You now live and come from, you have a new citizenship. Come on, somebody. Your citizenship is now marked in heaven. I want you to know the power of your words by this. Romans 10:9 says this. It says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll be saved. See, it is upon the confession of your mouth that you get taken out of this world and the belief in your heart and into the citizenship of the kingdom. Everybody stand to your feet right now. Who is the real ruler of the earth? The real ruler of the earth is man. But whenever you submit your mouth to things that are death, Satan enters in. He says, thank you, I can now run with this. But if you will submit your mouth to the word of God, life will begin to enter.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.